Hold up your Bible, electronic or otherwise. Repeat after me. This is the Word of God. And I believe that it is true. Okay, you can put that down. I learned that from Pastor Winnig. He was an Assembly of God pastor out in Burlington, Iowa. And he was my first favorite pastor. I went to visit my sister Dee out in Iowa every now and then. And, you know, my mom had already taken me to a full gospel church, so that wasn't any big thing. But, I mean, his church was 2-3 times bigger than this one here. But he would look at you, and he would make you feel special. And when he would raise that every time, I expected that. Every time he started a sermon, this is the Word of God, and I believe that it is true. Downstairs, when we were praying, before the whole conference started, Nancy asked us to pick a word and jump in the middle and say that word as loud as we could. And I jumped in and I yelled, "Truth!" You can't hide from truth, no matter what. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the people of Ketchikan. I thank you for the people in the surrounding area. I just feel at home here. I'm a counselor by trade, and in group counseling or in individual counseling, you always have to build trust. And you know that Nancy's brought me in here, and you trust her, so by default, you're pretty much trusting me. But this workshop started long before 1:30 on Saturday afternoon. I've looked in your eyes. The Lord has something special for you. So, Lord, I just thank you that they have ears to hear. They have hearts that are open to receive. And I know that they have already put a demand on my anointing. My name is Mary Beth Schultz. I am a teacher by trade. I am a master's degree school counselor. I was 16 years in the high school math room. So I know geometry and trigonometry. Right, Nancy? And this is my fifth year in the school counselor's office. I am a pastor's wife. Doesn't God just... The two things that I never, ever wanted to be, I could serve God. But I never wanted to go be a missionary, and I never wanted to be a pastor's wife. Never, ever. Doesn't God just work things out to stretch you and say, go do that? We have house church, 209 Plantation Drive. Our church is called New Heart Ministries. My husband wrote our vision statements, our motto, and what we're all about. I would like to read to you our expectations from my church, so maybe you have an understanding of why I'm going around to all y'all and pulling on you. God's Spirit is leading us to plant and nurture authentic expressions of the body of Christ to serve as healing centers for the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. These healing centers will operate like mobile army spiritual hospitals. Did you hear MASH in there? Ministering to the wounded and the oppressed. Our vision is to nurture local authentic expressions of the body of Christ, encouraging them to develop and multiply through organic, spontaneous expansion. Our mission is to lead people into an intimate relationship with Jesus where they are filled with all the fullness of Christ, to liberate the oppressed by presenting wisdom from God's word, to enable strugglers to live in wholeness, spiritual maturity, and victory. To heal the sick and brokenhearted by creating an environment where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are encouraged to flow through the entire body of Christ. Our fellowship is born out of spiritual life in Jesus Christ and gathers according to the reality that the church is a spiritual organism rather than an institutional organization. A congregation where the centrality and supremacy of Jesus is acknowledged and his spirit is the functional leader and head of the gathering. A community of believers where every member participates in open meetings without the need for hierarchical leadership. Every member. You don't hide in my church. Some people don't like to come back to my church because you can't hide in my church. You know how Nancy says, I will look you in the eye? I do. I look you in the eye and I pull on you as much as you will let me pull on you. So if you are sitting in my congregation, you are sitting under my authority and you are submitting to my authority and my husband's authority. And so when I say, what do you think about that? Or remember when that, or you shared that with me the other day, would you share that again? It comes out. Some people hem-haw a little bit the first couple of times, but usually it starts flowing. I need what all of you have in you to be the best me that I can be in Christ. I need all the Christ in all y'all to go out and be the body everywhere else. Our fellowship is a community of believers where every member participates in open meetings without the need for hierarchical leadership. I'll say it again. Every member. We have a pastor. That's my husband. I'm a pastor's wife. Okay. But he might pull up the worship songs, but he'll ask, what would you like to have? You want to know how we have worship? Real player videos on a big screen TV run through a computer. And doesn't God come down even with that? Yes. So he might be the leader, but hey, Sabe gets to preach on her, man, and she just starts going, and it just all comes out. We have a little 10-year-old, Noah. He has his grandfather's anointing. His grandfather's gone on to be with God and Jesus in a wonderful place. 10 years old, such wisdom, and he's such a blessing to us. So my husband, the pastor, asks everybody, oldest to youngest, what does this mean to you? Ask the children. They come up with some of the most amazing things. Our fellowship is a lifestyle and authentic journey with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Our motto is transforming our world one heart at a time. I'm a lost sheep finder. You know, when I say lost sheep, it could be a family member. It could be a friend. You've got that one person that you've been praying for maybe for 16 years. They are worth your prayer. They are worth your patience and your perseverance because they are worth going to be with Jesus just like us. They are worth having heaven on this earth, having a lifestyle that's full of peace, having a lifestyle that's full of prosperity, having a lifestyle full of relationships that are encouraging. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. You can pull heaven down now. Our foundational scripture is, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, Ezekiel 36:26. And nowhere on our information page does it say we want your money. Yes, you need to support ministries. Please support Point to Hope Ministries. My husband and I are bivocational. Somebody asked me, what does that mean? That means we have a day job too. So many of us do. Ministry is just that. It's extra. We still pay our own bills. We pay some of the church bills. Church is in my vaulted living room. On the walkway, imagine upstairs there's a walkway in between two sections of the house. That's where I take all my flags and I wave them around. I have about a 4-foot runway by, 20 feet. And that's where I praise the Lord every Sunday. It doesn't matter if there are 3 of us there or 23 of us there. God still gets praised. And those 23 people or those 3 people that are there are who needs to be there. And you're in my workshop today because you need to be here. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, babe. It just ain't happening. One is your left hand. One is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks cut off their nose just to spite their faith. I think face. I think you need some works to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow. The other one just make you sleep. Talk about it. But I really think you ought to take a leap off the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, and every word that he breathes, he lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening. One is your right hand. One is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life, and your breath. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a... Okay, Sabe, will you pass? Do they have their... Oh, they already have them. That's okay. If you got an old one from Anchorage, it still has the main notes. It just has my spiritual meals were a little bit older. So flip your handout over to the back, and you will see a nice picture of a submarine with a screen door. That's pretty worthless, isn't it? Faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. Wow. The late, great Rich Mullins sang that song. That's an oldie. Some of you might remember it. But that is a really good mental picture and a good thought. Faith without works. Works, you know, salvation is free. You accept Jesus by grace. You repent. But we need to be doers. Doers have action. Doers have hard things to do sometimes. Doers have to love people that they maybe wouldn't otherwise hang out with. Doers have to set aside their favorite things and take up other activities because it's important to those that they love. Doers have to sacrifice time, money, energy, status to love. But you know what? When you do that, I have faith that when you're obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit, big things are going to happen. I love those three little girls that were up here last night. They might have offended somebody. They were pretty much bouncing off the walls and the stage and the chairs and each other and the adults. The world needs that. They do. That needs harnessed. And as an educator, wow, that can be challenging. But did I tell them to quit, or did anybody else tell them to quit? No. What did I do? The teacher and me? Okay, let's corral that. Let's harness that. Let's worship God with that. So I shared my flags. So we all worshiped Jesus together. So we were billowing with our flags, and they were having a grand old time. And then it was time to go get ice cream. They didn't get to stay. I think their mama sent them on a sleepover is what they said. But what, the 10, 15 minutes I spent with them? It's time to go get ice cream. She's passing out $1 bills. The little one says, her too. So I got a $1 bill because I was invited to go have ice cream. So they're going to remember, you know, let's go into the house of the Lord. See this picture over here that my sister painted? It took me a little while to like that picture. It was kind of therapeutic, I think. You know how I don't like to give the enemy credence, but things get in the way of you needing to minister. Our first ministry opportunity, Sabe and Dee and I, we were invited to go to Georgia. We had a great time. It was a great experience. I come home the first night with my husband. I'm sleeping. Haven't been asleep but an hour. I sit straight up screaming. Bloody murder. I see this black ooze coming up my television set. Fear everywhere. I can't even breathe. I'm shaking so bad. There is so much adrenaline in me. Imagine that you have a child that's trapped underneath of a car and you need to get them out, and you have the strength to pick that up. That's what I felt was going through me, and all I could do was lay in bed and shake. And I knew it was a trial because I had professed that I have the keys to overcome depression and fear and suicide. And as soon as I got home from my great ministry trip, I was tried. So all I could do, you know, my husband woke up. He started praying in tongues. He put on some praise music because that's what breaks the spirit of fear. So I'm laying there, and all I could think, you know, is just pray in tongues, and I'm just shaking, shaking. I don't know if you've ever been that scared, but when you see it on TV and cartoons and they're just shaking, I mean, I was shaking, and it took me a while, but it broke. But it didn't completely break until I imagined, what can I do with this black ooze? It looked like petroleum. I imagined Dawn dish detergent. Squeezing on that black ooze, a big old bottle of Dawn. Light, spirit, God combating the darkness. And when I thought about Dawn dish detergent, a big old bottle, squeezing on that, I had comfort, and I had release, and I had peace, and I went back to sleep, and that was great. I had victory. We're staying with the Thompsons, who are great hosts and hostess. Two mornings ago, I had some really bad sinus coming in. My head hurt every day. It was awful, so I thought, okay, maybe it's something in the room, so I'll sleep out on the couch. I wasn't asleep even 45 minutes. And all I know is Dee and Sabe are coming to get me, and I'm standing in the middle of the living room. A shape similar to this one is standing in the living room. I didn't see it in the natural. The spirit in me woke up, got me up, and I was running to that black being. And I didn't even know what I said until Dan told me the next day. I said, "Who are you?" Something didn't want me speaking here today. So I'm standing in the middle of the living room, clutching my pillow with my knees shaking again. And I know to myself, this has happened before. Why is this happening again? So my sisters have run out, praying in tongues and laughing. But it breaks. So my spirit is learning. My spirit man is learning discernment. It was a black blob. It's a shape. I laid down at night thinking, okay, this is a holy household. It's prayed through and through. Maybe I'll get an angelic visitation. Thinking I would see a heavenly being. Well, I saw a being, but it weren't heavenly. But I'm not afraid. I believe I will have more discernment, that I will see and not have to get awakened in the middle of the night, that I can take care of it ahead of time. You can have that too. You don't have to be afraid. Why would I be afraid? I'm educated. I have a pastor for a husband. I'm the last of six kids. I have a big family. I have a mom and dad who love me. I have an awesome job. But we all have history. We all have a past. And sometimes we haven't unpacked that luggage. Not baggage, just luggage to unpack. So if you dig in my past a little bit, you'll find I had a father that thought criticism was constructive. So he was always trying to correct us, telling us what we did wrong. And not in a nice way. I couldn't wear shorts or a bathing suit. I couldn't go to dances. I had to wear funky long pants for sporting activities when I was on a team. Do you hear control? If any of you have grown up in control, you know that you sometimes not you don't have a good reaction to that. So you like start trying to counter that. It could be rebellion. It could be you just lay down and take it all, and you become a doormat. You become somebody who doesn't even identify abuse after a while. I have two brothers, and then I have two deceased brothers. I'm the last of six. My oldest brother was just over 20. I was 8 or 9. I come home to my great aunt and uncle, and I know when I get off the bus something's up because they're never at my house. We lived in my grandparents' old house, and he had gone up on the hill with a shotgun and killed himself. You don't quite understand that as an 8 or 9 year old, but you know it's a family tragedy. Jump forward. My second brother, about 40, about my age, found himself in life situation that he didn't think he could get out of. Took a shotgun, went up on the hill, closed casket. First one, open casket, second one. Did that make it any easier? No. Last year, I had a job. I just about came home crying every day, going to work every day crying. I was abused at my job. Those above me took advantage of me, treated me inappropriately. I was trying to decide whether to stay or whether to go, be the light in a dark place. And when I went to Anchorage, the people told me the answer. I asked them. They said, go to your interview. So when I flew home from Anchorage, I had a job interview that next day. God worked it out. My new assistant principal went to the school district. He was hired as the new principal there. He asked me to apply. I first told him no. But then after I got the word from the people in Anchorage, I sure did. So I am now wearing Fort Fry blue. I am a cadet. Proud to be a cadet. And in a very blessed job. Everybody has a story. But because I have a story, you have something about you that I feel because I've gone through it. Our families had personal tragedy that we've lived through and overcome, so we can help you. I'm just waiting on the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The other night when I saw this being in the living room and I was asking, my spirit person got me up, my physical body and mind, it took me a while to wake up and see it. And then I was scared, but my spirit man wasn't scared. My spirit man woke me up and said, go take care of that. But I was okay. But you know what happened after that? I went back to bed. And my sister Sabe was in the other room battling. She had other visitations. So it didn't leave just then. It took some more warring to get through it. So what she did is she imagines two angels that are dressed like Roman soldiers. And anytime anything would come up against her, those Roman soldiers would just jab or kick. And so she would pray in tongues and she would keep studying. And this is 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning. But finally, she got victory over that and she could go on studying. And she had peace to go on to. Peace is very important. In the Schultz household, peace reigns. Some people can't live in the Schultz household because they can't be respectful of peace. It's not that we set harsh rules. I believe in logical consequences. I'm one of those that my nephew was having a tough time and he moved down and from Pennsylvania to live with me from April through, I don't know, about June or July. He was a senior in high school. This is my brother's boy. He decided he needed to move when he was driving down the interstate shooting up heroin. This is my nephew who has heritage from my grandmother who knows better. This is also my nephew who has a father who hasn't quite realized who he is in Christ yet. This is my nephew who's learned how to be a functional alcoholic when he's only 15, 16. This is my nephew that said, "This isn't how I should live. I need help." So my sister-in-law calls. We kind of decide between the two of us, Dee and I, who he needs to live with, and I pretty much decided he needed to live with me. But do you know what that means? That means I have to have a family meeting every day with my nephew. It takes effort to love people. It takes effort to invite people into your home. It takes effort to have appropriate boundaries. And it's even harder when you're related to them. You know, you can do a lot of these things for some stranger, but that person that's already offended you and hurt you, I had two major rules. Don't bring anything in this house that's going to harm your cousin. My daughter was 15 at the time. And don't you dare come home drunk. So guess what happens when he comes home drunk? Auntie Beth takes the car keys. He happens to be going to a school that's 15 miles up the road. So guess what that means for Auntie Beth? Auntie Beth has to get up earlier to take Ben to school. And when Ben has a bad day and the principal calls, guess what? Auntie Beth has to leave work and go to school in the middle of the day to see what's up. Do we need to come out? Do we need to stay in? Oh, you just got mad and called your teachers dirty names. Are you okay now? Yeah. Can you go back to class? Yeah. Okay. Go back to class. I go back to work. Guess what? After school, I had to go pick him up. So three times in a day, I had to go way out of my way because I work 17 miles back the other direction. But that's what it takes. It takes effort. But I believe in my nephew Ben. I believe that he has destiny. And he has covering of the Schultz household because he submitted himself to me. Is he perfect? No. And isn't he being a little unruly right now when he's back living with his parents and then moved in with his friend? He did graduate, by the way. But I see Christ in him, the hope of glory. He is worth saving. But you know what it's going to take first? I can put a lot of my effort into my nephew. And I called him up when he moved back locally with his friend because I knew he was just misbehaving. He's like, yeah, Aunt Beth, I knew you'd be calling. I said, honey, you can change your mind, but you have to have a plan. He says, I have a plan. And he told me his plan. So when we had these daily meetings, and then they would turn into maybe every couple of days, but we would set goals and we would have some, you know, rewards and encouragement and things that he'd never had before, called unconditional love. I know you're going to mess up. It's part of being a teenager, especially in the lifestyle that you were living. But when we sat down at the table to have our conversations, this is the no judgment zone. I want to know what you did, how much, when. What I really wanted to get at was the why. And he figured it out a little bit. And you know what? Eventually he is going to have a testimony to help someone else. But why do I say that? Why do I tell you about my nephew Ben? Because it is tough. It is tough to love people. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm not fighting my family. I'm fighting that dark being. I'm fighting that dark blob. And you know what? I am tired of it. My daddy is a very loving man. When Nancy says, when you come to Alaska, there is a spirit over this region that pulls out of you what you really are. Do you know what was found in my family? What pulled out of us the most was that we love people. That we take time to get to know people. That we change toilet paper in the bathroom when it's not our job. That we pick up trash off the floor when it's not our job. When somebody's over in the corner all by themselves, we go sit down and talk to them. We don't leave the church. We come early. We stay late because Point to Hope is worth praying for. Because they have sown into us something that no one else ever has. No one has loved my father like Nancy Haney. This man is 76 years old. The same man that it was hard growing up with. The same man that my mama has lived with for years and years and years and years and years and prayed for has finally gotten breakthrough. The same man that buried two sons and has nephews and nieces that still suffer from addiction. The same man who I wanted my mom to divorce because I didn't like him. He was mean and nasty and controlling and judgmental. But you don't know that man. You know Papa Wolf. And I did not get deliverance of my feelings against my daddy until I imagined through a theophostic ministry, Jesus living inside of him. Until I accepted that that man is not the man I grew up with. He hadn't changed yet. But I imagined Jesus in the room in a tough situation that we'd had. Jesus sitting by him, closer, being a protector to me. Then it became Jesus sat down on my papa's lap, and Jesus morphed right into my daddy, the daddy that hadn't changed yet. So we kept praying. We kept believing. We kept loving. We didn't yell. We didn't holler back at Dad. We loved him. So what we did, we had an Honor Your Husband Day, Our Ladies Prayer Group. Oh my gosh, did the men eat that up. In our prayer group, they thought that we were just getting together complaining about them. Well, maybe some of that was going on, but that wasn't the focus. So we each wrote something nice about every man in our life, and we made a little bag, and we put those nice notes down in it, and we handed them out. We hosted a dinner, and we gave them to them, and we gave them the words right then as well. Those who couldn't come right then, we gave them to them, and they were blessed later. So we were speaking life, even when we didn't see fruit. But guess what? We finally saw the fruit. My dad comes home from a Nancy Haney conference or a session, and I don't know if it was in the car or if it was in the living room. He says, "I love another woman." "70 years old, with your wife there with you. I love another woman. I love Nancy Haney. Is that okay?" And guess what my mom said? "Oh yeah, sure, sure." Point to Hope has changed our lives, and I know it's changed your lives. You have changed my life. But what I have inherited from my daddy, my earthly daddy, he had anger. I found myself having anger. I never wanted my daughter, my one and only daughter, to be in such a place where they thought that she thought that I didn't approve of her, that I didn't love her, that she was worthless, that she was no good for this world. She had no purpose and she would take her own life. That was my biggest fear. I did not want to be like my dad. But I found out I needed to be like my dad in a spiritual way. So this is who I am in Christ as a result of my daddy. "You dark forces in Ketchikan, you have no right to these people. You have no right to them physically. You have no right to them mentally. And you have no right ever spiritually. You are served notice right now. This is our land. This is godly land. This is the people of Ketchikan's land. We will not stand for this any longer. Disease, sickness, depression, suicide, alcoholism. You have no place in this home. I call that righteous anger. There is a purpose to be angry at times. There is a purpose to be compassionate and soft. You can use your voice in lots of ways to comfort, because some people need a gentle touch and a kind word and a soft voice. And some people just need you to get in their face and say, "What are you doing? What is your problem? Why are you acting like this? You have prophetic word over you that needs to come out. Why have you let it rest for 12 years? Why are you sitting there when you should be up?" A wise woman once told me, "Where you missed the boat, go back and find it." That wise woman was my sister. We have different paths that we take. We get closer and further sometimes. Go back to the last thing that he told you. Pick it up and do it. I'm the little wolf girl from West Virginia, but I am a general. I am a giant in God's army. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I do not walk in a spirit of fear. I walk, I speak life. And what I do, which might just rub you the wrong way, is I challenge you. I see the giftings in you, and I prod them. It is uncomfortable. I speak words of life over you. And if you come alongside me and submit yourself to being my friend, God will take you a long way. Not because you're my friend, but because we are seeing the Christ in one another and we are feeding off one another. I'm the wolf girl from West Virginia. You might have seen me flitting around like Nancy said. Love you, Kelly. There's power. What did I say? I'm the wolf girl.
In Tlingit, you say Kagwantan. That's the toughest Tlingit in the universe.
I receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen. They're all been salmon, devil, chasing, true blue, blood bought, God given, Jesus loving, full of the Holy Ghost, lady.
Did you hear that, lady? I'm not a man. I'm not a man. I'm a lady up here ministering. Where we come from, that ain't allowed. In very many places, that is. That is. I believe in Lisa Bevere. I believe in her decree that if women rise up, the world will be won, because you know what? Satan is under our feet. So when women rise up, it doesn't mean that they're in control. It means that they come alongside appropriately with their men. That means they are co-sojourners. They are one. It doesn't have to be a husband. It could be coming alongside whoever you're in submission to, your pastor, your father, your brother, your brother-in-law, your son. You got a covering. And you men, you have a job to cover. So I am encouraging you women to rise up. Get that righteous anger. Find your place. Be in submission. And you will go far. Lisa Bevere led me to Brady Bodie, pastor of a church in Colorado Springs, talking about women empowerment, but in a good way. Brady Bodie led me to Scott McKnight. Scott McKnight is a theologian. That's what he is. The Blue Parakeet is one of my new favorite books. It really challenges how you read the Bible and think about things and why do you believe what you believe. Graham Cook says, you're never alone. With God, you are always a majority. Pastor Bill Johnson
says the broken will build cities.
Oh, I confess, I'm broken. I have been broken, but I have been redeemed. And I have sisters alongside me and a mother that we are learning together how to be warriors and champions in the body of Christ. So if you look underneath the submarine, you'll see some of my recent spiritual meals. That just says, hey, what have I been eating? If I've been eating junk food, I'm probably not very healthy, am I? So this is just to let you know what I've been feasting on spiritually. You might not, those might not be your preferred authors or speakers, but that's who's speaking into my life right now. Rick Pino, singer, pioneer. Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing onwards beyond your, fears, and only your Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer, uncharted wilderness stretches before you, and you thrive on going where no one has gone. Still it gets lonely when darkness rears. So sing by the fire until the dawn. Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing onward beyond your fears, and only your Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer. You travel light and you travel alone. And when you arrive, nobody knows but your Father in heaven. He is glad you can go, 'cause those who come after you will need the road. Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing onwards beyond your fears. And only your Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer. And what you have done, others will do bigger and better and faster than you. But you can't look back. You gotta keep on pressing through. There's a wilderness pathway, and it's calling you, calling you, calling you. Keep pressing onwards beyond your fears, and only your Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer.
I want to know what you're going to have righteous anger about. You're all pioneers. I have to blaze the road so it can be easier for somebody else. Okay, I'll blaze the road so it'll be easier for somebody else. My husband prophesied over me that I would be a hurdler in the spiritual. I was a hurdler in the natural. That means I have to jump the obstacles and find out where they are so you don't have to trip over them. That means I have to run out there and cut down all the brush so that your pathway is much easier. So if you would flip to the front. Teachers always have homework, right? In modern education, we have a lead into class. We have an exit ticket. We have, you know, it's a sampling of what you have learned for this lesson. So my focus is faith. I have faith for my family, for myself, for my employment, for the nation. And I want you right now to take some time and write down what you have faith for, where you're going to be a pioneer, where righteous anger is going to rise up in you. When I filled this out in Georgia, it was different from when I filled it out in Anchorage, which is different from where I fill it out in Ketchikan. Your life is dynamic. Sometimes I've had answered prayer. I have prayer that hasn't been answered. But as Bill Johnson says when he talks about his daddy and how they prayed for his daddy when he was sick, but he still went on to be with Jesus, that prayer wasn't in vain. Because though you were pressing against a big boulder with your faith, you developed strong muscles. Want to know a secret to inner peace? Ask for forgiveness, not from God, but for whoever's in your head that keeps going round and round and round, who has control over you because you haven't let that situation go. And it doesn't even matter if it was your fault or not. You go to those people or that person and you ask for their forgiveness. That will be an open door. Could they still reject you? That's a chance. But you can still have inner peace. As a teacher, I was really big on class participation too. So who's bold? Who wants to put it out there in the atmosphere? Because if you put it out there, the saints can agree with you. Yeah? We can have faith with you for what you're believing. So what do you believe for yourself?
I have faith for my good health to continue.
Amen. So that's like a praise and a request all in one.
I have faith I'm a woman of God. A woman of God.
A woman of God. A mighty woman of God.
I have faith for my people that I will lead my native people to God. I am Haida Nishka, and because of the way that the missionaries treated my people, they reject God. So I stand forth with the face of knowing that my people have walked the trail of tears, and I still accept God as my personal Lord and Savior. So I am a warrior for Christ.
She says, I am a warrior of Christ.
Excellence and no mere Jesus.
I have faith in God for service to Him, relationships, and being a good witness.
Amen. Anyone else want to share what you're believing for yourself?
I'm believing for creative miracles, and I stand with others that need them too.
Amen.
Overcoming the chains that bind me.
Hallelujah. An overcomer, a victorious woman, Eve, who's in the form of Connie at the moment.
Walking out Isaiah 61, and you will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father.
Amen. Even greater things. I've seen some pretty great things, too.
I'm bivocational, too, so I'm believing God for greater influence and open doors like I have never seen before.
Hallelujah. Do you know what you people are asking for? More work! But that doesn't mean you get tired. That means through Christ, you can do all things because He strengthens you.
Haksa Slana Hara Santanoi. Huit. Father God, in Jesus' name, let me do no harm to thy word. Lord, you're moving with thy Holy Spirit. You're repositioning all your children to redeem the lost at any cost. No retreats. Forward together, led by the Holy Spirit. Father God, I give you the city of Heidelberg. When I'm mayor there, Lord, I ask you to redeem the council and the chiefs and to put Heidelberg where you want it to be. And I love you, Lord. I don't worship any of God's creation. I lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think he got more than himself, but that's okay.
Daddy Kriadas, Lana. How was, Lana? Lord, I want more healing in my body. 1979, I found out that I was supposed to be paralyzed, but you're doing the rest of the healing through surgeries and all the other things that went on in my life. I ask for healing for my family. I ask that you would save them. I ask that you deal with my grandson right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I would like to see him graduate from high school. I would like you to work on him. Lord, I ask that you would be for Prince of Wales, for Heidelberg, Clark, Craig, Thornbay. I ask that you would work in their lives, Lord. We have been saved for a long time, over 34, 35 years. I ask you to continue for us to reach out to new people. Lord, I ask that you reach out to the people that live around us. Lord, there are people that are hungry. Lord, there are days I'm baking every day and I'm feeding those little kids. Lord, there's more that are coming into my home. I ask that you would ask their mom and dad to reach out to them. Break them from alcohol, drugs, whatever it is in their life. I ask that you would set them free. Lord, I ask that you start right here in this church. That you would reach out to these people, even if you have little, bake, even if you have cereal, feed them, even if you have a little cup of milk, give it to them. Lord, these kids are hungry. I have been dealing with them for a long time. Lord, I ask that you would just really reach out to them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I think you have homework. Oh, I'm not going to stop the flow.
Answering how does this belief manifest in my life? I have inner peace. I hear God's call daily as he calls me to give my life, which is his, to others. And I have a humbleness that Jesus died for my sins.
Amen. Broken people build cities. You are a city on a hill.
The Lord had me paint that picture. That is not the black blob, but she overcame the black blob, and I redeemed that memory in her. And that is going to become a Christian standing. That is the city of the hill. See, Jesus said that he is the light of the world, but he ended up teaching his disciples that they are the light of the world. So you are the atmosphere changer that walks into the darkness. And when you walk into the darkness, the atmosphere changes. So that is a redeemed vision, and that is a redeemed picture. And he's going to get some color later as a true warrior in Christ, warriors for Christ.
Hallelujah. Who's got a burning something to share? Here's what I want you to do, though. What you didn't share with me, I want you to make a promise to yourself and with God that you will share it with someone, that you will sit down and that you will pray over it. So hold these up. What I want you to do is I want you to grab the hand of somebody by you
I want you to agree together. You don't have to share what's on your paper, but I want you to agree together, being the body to one another, that what you have written on this paper shall come to pass.